But we want to just share a few thoughts with you and some scripture that we pray will be a comfort to you. It's been my privilege over the last several years to be Mac and Alice's Alabama pastor, I guess is what we would say. Several years ago, we worked out with their church in Virginia that they would have joint membership, and that when they were here in Alabama, they would be members of our church. They were charter members of the new church that we formed, Grace Baptist Church. And been a great blessing to me and to our membership people here. Of course, Brother Mac had a great influence in the Grand Bay Area, still did his entire life. And when I think about Brother Mac, my initial thoughts go to the times that I was able to spend with him, and they're very precious times to me. I remember when he fell and hurt his arm and his shoulder, visiting him in the hospital. And one afternoon in particular, we just sat and visited for well over an hour, and we got to laughing about things and cutting up and just having the best time. And I really enjoyed that afternoon with him. I hated the circumstances that he was in the hospital, but he was a great blessing to me. We shared time in each other's homes. We visited in their home and had him in our home. Just very precious times. At church, the one thing I noticed about him, and this is very important to a preacher, is to find somebody who will listen. And so you scan the congregation, and when I would have a rough sermon that it seemed like nobody was listening, I could always look to Brother Mac, and he was right there with me, intently listening. When he would leave after the service, he would come by and say encouraging things, but usually the thing that encouraged me is that he would say something from the sermon, some small detail or some specific detail that let me know that not only had he been listening and just sort of understood the general message from the sermon, but that he understood some of the details that we were trying to preach about. And it was just a great encouragement to me. And that let me know that he loved the Word of God, that the Word of God was very special to him. And so that gave us something very special to recognize about him right from the first days. After their trip to Israel several years ago, one of the things that he and Alice did has been a great blessing, more than they could ever know, is that they had the pictures that they made while they were in Israel, and I think it was, you know, their pictures and maybe some others who had taken pictures, but had those pictures, made copies for me so that I could have them. And I have those pictures in my bookshelf right beside all of my best reference books. And so if I'm studying some particular portion of Israel or Jerusalem, I can go to those pictures and pull them out of the envelope and see the very place that I'm reading about or studying about in Scripture. And so that'll be a blessing to me for the rest of my life. And I believe Brother Mac had written on the back, or it might have been you, Alice, had written out all of the details of what each picture was and the historic significance of it. And it was just a great blessing, still is, to this very day. Last time I spoke with Brother Mac was the day before Judy's surgery. He had called me, and I couldn't take his call when he called, but I returned his call while I was driving, and we talked for about half an hour. And again, we had just the best time talking on the phone and just enjoyed the fellowship that we experienced at that time. And he was just concerned. He wanted everybody to know that the surgery was coming up the next day, and that we needed to all be in prayer, which of course we were. Several years ago, after a funeral message that I preached, he made a statement the following Sunday. He said, "I want you to preach that sermon." He and Alice were at that funeral service, and he came to me after church. He said, "That sermon that you preached the other day, I want you to preach that same sermon at my funeral." And we're not going to do that today because of the setting here, but at some point in the future, there'll probably be a memorial service or some opportunity at our church to have a special day. And I'm going to honor that request of his. But it was a very sobering, very somber message that I preached at that funeral. And it was about how life is very short, very uncertain, how death is certain, and how after death we face God. And so very sober. I didn't think anyone would ever ask to have a sermon like that preached at the funeral, but that's what he asked for. And we will definitely make sure that we do that. And at Alvin's graveside service, I read the verses here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which speak about the rapture. And there's a lot of things we don't understand about the end times from Scripture, but there's a lot of things that we can be very certain about. And one of those things is that Jesus is coming again. You know, we may not agree on all the details of how that will take place based on what we read in Scripture, but Jesus Himself said, "I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And that's in John chapter 14. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, we have the main passage in Scripture that speaks about the rapture. And I want to read it and just make a couple of comments about it this afternoon. And Brother Mack had come up to me immediately after Alvin's service where I had read these same verses. And I could tell that the reading that passage in a setting like we're in here in a cemetery had captured his thoughts and captured his heart. And he and I stood there and talked for several minutes about the wonderful passage of Scripture that I'm about to read. So let me just read it to us this afternoon. It says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." Now this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. He says, "I don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep." And that's just the Bible's wonderful way of talking about those who have gone on to be with the Lord. He said, "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." And then he gives the gospel presentation. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air to meet the Lord, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And so what the Scripture is teaching us here is that there will be a day when those who have died in the Lord, that is those who have trusted the gospel of Jesus Christ, that His death on the cross was a satisfaction to God for our sins, and have put their faith in the cross and the resurrection for their eternal life. When Jesus comes again, He'll come with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And that's the great and glorious resurrection day that the Scripture speaks about. There's one other place in Scripture that speaks about this, and I want to just read it before we close out this time. And that's in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just listen to these words from God's Word. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." One of the things that, you know, if you were around Brother Mack very much at all, you began to understand that he was a very intelligent man. He knew a lot of things about a lot of things. He was very interested. He was a person who was interested in gaining knowledge and learning more, and he knew a lot of things. Very intelligent man, had a very high IQ, I'm sure. And I'd often said if I was ever on that program, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I would probably have Brother Mack and Brother Calvin standing by to be my people that I would call for the answer. But, you know, one Sunday, he came through the door, and I had preached a sermon, and I'd given an illustration about Luther. and had just given sort of the sketch of this story. And as he came through the door, he filled in all the details of the rest of that story that I didn't know. And I was thinking, well, man, if I had known all of that, it would have made the sermon so much better. But a very intelligent man. But I'll tell you, the most intelligent thing he ever did in his life, and the wisest thing that he ever did in his life, was to put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the payment for the penalty of his sins. And he believed the gospel that Jesus Christ died for his sins and that he rose again. And because of that, he is at this moment in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And what we've just read about here in Scripture is that one day when Jesus comes, he will bring the spirit of those who have already gone to be with him back to be united with that body that's here today. And there will be a resurrected body, a new body, a glorious body, an eternal body that will be resurrected from these graves. And it says, so shall he ever be with the Lord, and so shall we be with the Lord. And so if we know Jesus Christ as he knows Jesus Christ, we'll see him again, and we'll be with him again, and we'll be with the Lord again. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Well, Father, we thank you for Brother Mack. Lord, we thank you for his life. We thank you how he was such an influence in the churches where he was a member, such an influence in the community. Many ways, Lord, and in many groups, he was the glue that held things together. Many people this past week have spoken of that and how much he meant to them. So, Lord, we thank you for his life. We thank you for his dedication to you, his love for you, his love for your word, his love for truth. And we just thank you for the influence and the friendship that we've had with him on this earth. And now, Lord, we want to pray for Alice and, Lord, these daughters and all the family that's here today. We just pray that you would comfort them in a very special way by your Spirit. We thank you for the promise of comfort by your Holy Spirit. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.